وقالوا ان هي الا حياتنا الدنيا وما نحن بمبعوثين. They say, there is none but our worldly life. This is only one life, and that's all that we're going to live. There is no afterlife. We will not be resurrected. This is what they say with so much determination. If you could but see when they will be made to stand before their Lord. Remember, this surah also teaches us about the akhirah. When people will be made to stand before their Lord, He will say, is this not the truth? You rejected it, but is this not the truth? They will say, yes, by our Lord. He will then say, so taste the punishment because you used to disbelieve. قَدْ خَسِرَ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِلِقَاءِ اللَّهِ. Those will have lost who deny the meeting with Allah. Those who do not believe in akhirah, what does Allah say? What will they suffer? A tremendous loss. They're not going to be in a neutral state. No, they are going to suffer a loss, a tremendous loss, until when the hour of resurrection comes upon them unexpectedly, they will say, oh, how great is our regret over what we neglected concerning it. While they bear their burdens on their backs, unquestionably evil is that which they bear. What is this burden that they will be carrying on their backs? The burden of sin. The burden of sin. Imagine how embarrassing it would be that the sins of a person are where? On his shoulders. So that he will not be able to hide them at all. In this world, are we willing to display our sins? Are we willing to tell other people, today I didn't pray Fajr, you know? Can we say that? Can we say to somebody, can we publicize our sins today? Can we have our sins written all over us? If we stole something, and that is on our head, we're carrying it in our hand, can we walk around in front of people, yes, I stole this. Can we do that? No. Why? Because a sin is a cause of embarrassment. But imagine, if we do not repent from these sins today, if we do not have them washed off today, then what will happen tomorrow? Those sins are still there. They're still there. So what is it that we need to do? Stop those sins. You find it difficult? Ask Allah, Ya Allah, You give me the strength to leave it. I'm trying. I've done my best. I've exhausted my efforts. You help me. You guide me. You give me the courage. You keep me firm. And then whatever has happened in the past, Ya Allah, wash it away. Wash it away. Imagine if somebody recorded us when we were getting upset with someone. Imagine if those words were recorded. Imagine if somebody videotaped us when we were doing something wrong and that video was put up on YouTube. And the whole world watched it. Haven't we heard such incidents? Things like this, when they're put up, people are not able to bear that embarrassment and they commit suicide even. And this has happened. They will commit suicide. Why? Because the wrong thing that happened was publicized. It was so embarrassing that it was not even possible to look at another person. We also commit sins. And when Allah blesses us with knowledge, with awareness, it is so that we stop our sins. And we ask Allah, Ya Allah, wash me, clean me, make me get rid of my bad habits. When Allah blesses us with the coming month of Ramadan, inshallah, may Allah enable us to reach that day and live through this month. What is the purpose of this month? To clean us. To clean us of our sins. To help us break our bad habits. Because if we don't break them now, if we don't get rid of our sins now, if we don't get rid of this garbage, this burden now, tomorrow it will be a big burden for us. But then it will be permanent. Right now it is temporary. That day it will be permanent. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ. What is it that prevents us from obeying Allah? What stops us from making repentance? What stops us? It's the life of this world. Allah says, and the worldly life is not but amusement and diversion, but the home of the hereafter. وَلَلدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. The home of the hereafter is best for those who fear Allah. So will you not reason? Will you not understand that this world, this life is a deception? How is it a deception? Because it's temporary. And what do we think? It's eternal. It is forever. So even if we want one small thing to fulfill a basic need, what will we do? Spend hours and hours trying to fulfill that need. Trying to find the most perfect option. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? Why is it that we spend hours and days and months planning these things? Why? Because we think the house that we live in right now is permanent. The car that we're going to drive is permanent. The clothes that we're going to wear are permanent. We think like that. We think like that. We are deceived by this worldly life. And then we also think that this dunya, whatever is in it, it is beautiful. It is perfect. So we seek the best option. Remember, even if a person was to be given the place that is occupied by a stick, think about the place that can be occupied by a stick. This place in Jannah, if a person is given just this much place in Jannah, that is better than the world and whatever is in it. Than the world and whatever is in it. Saying subhanallah, saying alhamdulillah, saying la ilaha illallah, these words, these kalimat, what do they bring to a person in Jannah? Heavy rewards. Heavy rewards. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. What does it do? It fills the scale, does it not? Heavy rewards. But what happens? We keep putting away, putting aside these good deeds and we think, let me enjoy right now. Let me enjoy right now. When it comes to the things of this world, we want what is most perfect. But remember, even if it is the most beautiful and the most precious thing, compared to what is in Jannah, it is lowly, it is base, it is cheap. We know that, O Prophet ﷺ, you are saddened by what they say. And indeed, they do not call you untruthful. But it is the verses of Allah that the wrongdoers reject. And certainly were messengers denied before you. But they were patient over the effects of denial. And they were harmed until our victory came to them. And none can alter the words of Allah. And there has certainly come to you some information about the previous messengers. And if their evasion is difficult for you, meaning it's difficult for you to bear, then if you are able to seek a tunnel into the earth or a stairway into the sky to bring them a sign, then do so. But if Allah had willed, He would have united them upon guidance. So never be of the ignorant. The people would continuously demand from the Prophet ﷺ miracles. They were shown some miracles, but they kept demanding more and more miracles. So over here the Prophet ﷺ is consoled that they should not believe because of miracles. So don't ask for miracles. Why? Because if a person will believe just because he has seen a miracle, then that quickly also his faith will leave. Truth should be accepted. Why? Because of accepting it as true. Not because of some miracle that happened. Because of recognizing it, understanding it to be true. إِنَّمَا يَسْتَجِيبُ الَّذِينَ يَسْمَعُونَ. Only those people who hear will respond. Who can respond? The one who listens. Those who are willing to listen, interested in listening. Those who desire the truth. Then even if they have to bear hardship in listening to the truth, they will still listen. وَالْمَوْتَى يَبَعَثُهُمُ اللَّهِ. But the dead, those people whose hearts are dead, their conscience is dead, then Allah will resurrect them, meaning you cannot do anything about them. Then to Him they will be returned. And they say, why has a sign not been sent down to Him from His Lord? Say, indeed Allah is able to send down a sign, but most of them do not know. And there is no creature on or within the earth or bird that flies with its wings except that there are communities just like you. We have not neglected in the register a thing. Then unto their Lord they will be gathered. But those who deny our verses are deaf and dumb within darknesses. Whomsoever Allah wills, He leaves astray, and whomsoever He wills, He puts him on a straight path. وَمَن يَشَأْ يَجْعَلْهُ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. So, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. O Allah, guide us to the straight path. Say, have you considered, if there came to you the punishment of Allah, or there came to you the hour, is it other than Allah you would invoke if you should be truthful? Remember that part of believing in Allah's oneness is to dedicate all acts of worship, prayer, sacrifice, hope, trust exclusively to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So over here we are asked, when you are in difficulty, then who do you call upon? Allah. بَلْ إِيَّاهُ تَدْعُونَ. No, it is Him alone you would invoke. And He would remove that for which you invoked Him, if He willed. And you would forget what you associate with Him. What happens when we are in difficulty? Initially we think about, okay, let me take some Tylenol. Okay, let me take some rest. Let me take a break. Let me sleep. Let me ask this person. Let me ask that person. But then still, if the pain doesn't go away, if the problem doesn't go away, then what happens? Eventually, it takes very long for some people, and some people are quick to do this. Eventually, we fall to our knees, we fall in sujood, or we beg Allah, we humble ourselves, and we ask Him for help. Allah says that lost from that is what you used to associate with Him. وَتَنْسَوْنَ مَا تُشْرِكُونَ. Then you forget them. We learn about Ikrimah radiallahu anhu, that how when the Prophet ﷺ conquered Makkah, he left, he fled. He said, I'm not staying here, I'm not accepting Islam, and there's no way I'm going to stay here. He left. He went, boarded a ship, went to the sea, and what happened? There was a huge storm. And everybody first started calling upon their idols. And then one by one they started calling upon Allah alone. No, this idol is not helping. No, that one is not helping. This one is not helping. So call only Allah. So Ikrimah then realized that if I am calling upon Allah alone here at sea, knowing that only Allah can help me, then that's exactly what Muhammad ﷺ has been calling people to. That we should call upon Allah alone. So he left everything and he went to the Prophet ﷺ and embraced Islam. Many times it happens that Allah puts people in hardship, in difficulty, and we don't understand why. We think Allah is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Why is this person going through so much hardship? You know why? Because Allah wants us to become humble. Because some people, they do remember Allah when they are within blessings. And other people, they have to be broken up. Their heart has to be shattered. Their life has to fall apart for them to realize that they need somebody. Who? Somebody who knows them. Somebody who understands them. And who can that be? The one who made them. And the one who made everything else. And we have already sent messengers to nations before you. Then we seize them with poverty and hardship. That perhaps, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. Perhaps they might humble themselves to us. So whenever we see hardship in our lives, when we see hardship in this world, in the lives of other people, don't think, how could Allah do that? No, Allah does not intend injustice for His servants. What does He want? He wants that they fulfill the purpose of their lives. He wants that they should recognize their Lord. Then why, when our punishment came to them, did they not humble themselves? But their hearts became hardened, and shaitan made attractive to them that which they were doing. Many people, even when they are put to this hardship, they don't humble themselves. Why? Because they are still in the trap of shaitan. Shaitan keeps telling them, what you're doing is good. What you're doing is best. You are right. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. So when they forgot that by which they had been reminded, we opened to them the doors of every good thing until when they rejoiced in that which they were given, we seized them suddenly and they were then in despair. What do we see here? That if a person continues to receive Allah's blessings despite disobedience, despite sin, despite continuous and deliberate sins, then what is that? This is the beginning of punishment. This is the beginning of punishment. Because when a person does something wrong, at first he is made to suffer so that he realizes. When he realizes, but he doesn't repent, he doesn't change himself, then what happens? He makes that mistake again, he commits that sin again. Then what happens? Again, he feels bad, something happens, it makes him feel bad. But then, after a couple of times, he sees, oh, nothing's happening. Oh, you know what? I was thinking that I was suffering because of my sin, because I have been brainwashed. There's no God. There's no day of judgment. And then what happens? A person thinks, oh look, since I left Islam, I am a happy person. Since I left praying, since I stopped my hijab, I have regained my confidence. Have you heard such statements? People taking confidence in the sin that they're doing. Feeling happy about the disobedience that they're committing. Why is this happening? You wonder that, okay, really, when you compare their present situation with their past situation, they're much happier now. They're happier after they have left Islam. They're happier when they have left hijab. Why? This is istidraj. This is the beginning of punishment. The Prophet ﷺ said, when you see that Allah gives to a servant in this world blessings despite his sins, then indeed it is istidraj. What is istidraj? Gradually, when a person is led towards punishment. That he's given his freedom, he's given his space, okay, do what you want to. And then what happens? Instantly, without any warning, he is seized. He is seized. So we need to reflect on our lives now. We need to reflect on ourselves. That are there things in my life which are clearly wrong? There is no question about that. It is wrong. When it comes to my salah, perhaps I am negligent. When it comes to treating my parents, perhaps I am disrespectful. When it comes to dealing with my husband, perhaps I am disrespectful. These are sins. And we forget that these are sins. And these are real mistakes. But if despite that, we get food, we have a house, we have a happy life, we get to have fun, we get to enjoy, then perhaps we are in big danger. Perhaps we are in big danger. That Allah is not even giving us the ability now to recognize, to see our mistakes, to feel our mistakes. And when a person lives like this, then what happens? Instantly, without warning, punishment comes and seizes him, and then he has no more chances left. So the people that committed wrong were eliminated. And praise to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Say, have you considered, if Allah should take away your hearing and your sight and set a seal upon your hearts, which deity other than Allah could bring them back to you? Look how we diversify the verses. Then they still turn away. Look at your hands. Take your hands out and look at them. Look at your hands. Who made them? Who gave them to you? Feel your ears. Touch your eyes. Who gave this? Who made it? Whose control is it in? Allah's control. He gave it, He can take it away. We are so weak, we don't even have control over our hands. Our hands. Recently I got to know about this child. The hand got caught in a treadmill. 1-year-old kid. Hand got caught in the treadmill. You can imagine what happened to that hand. You can't even see it. We take these blessings for granted. We don't even think that these blessings, this body that I'm enjoying, the hand that I'm using, the eyes with which I am seeing, the ears with which I am listening, these are all temporarily with me. They're not going to last forever. I better use them before my time runs out. I better use them in obedience to Allah, not in disobedience to Allah. I better thank Allah for these blessings. These blessings that I use day in and day out. Think about how much we take from Allah. How much we take from Him. How much we have taken from Him from the beginning of our lives. How much have we received? But what have we done in return? What gratitude, what obedience, what love, what devotion have we showed in return? When a person gifts us just one meal, we forever remain grateful to them. Every time they pass by us, we feel like, oh, they're coming. They gave me such a big gift. We feel so conscious around them. Allah watches us all the time. He has blessed us with everything that we have. Then is it not necessary that we thank Him? We remember Him? We care about what He wants us to do? When He has shown so much love to us, is it not correct that we also show love to Him? Love is both-sided. It has to be both-sided. We cannot always take and demand that we should not be called to account. Allah is giving us, but then He will also ask us. Say, have you considered if the punishment of Allah should come to you unexpectedly or manifestly, will any be destroyed but the wrongdoing people? And we send not the messengers except as bringers of good tidings and warners. So whoever believes and reforms, there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve. But those who deny our verses, the punishment will touch them for their defiant disobedience. Say, I do not tell you that I have the depositories containing the provision of Allah, or that I know the unseen, nor do I tell you that I am an angel. I only follow what is revealed to me. Say, is the blind equivalent to the seeing? Then will you not give thought? So we are invited to give thought. Why? So that we may recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the real giver is who? Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am just a distributor. But the grant is from Allah. إِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِمْ وَاللَّهُ يُعْطِي. So people, when they give us something, who are they? They're just distributing. They're just passing on what was given to them to be passed on. Who is the real giver? Who is the real giver? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنذِرْ بِهِ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ أَن يُحْشَرُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ. And warn by the Qur'an those who fear that they will be gathered before their Lord. For them besides Allah, besides Him, will be no protector and no intercessor, that they might become righteous. Warn them by this Qur'an. Why? So that they may become righteous. So how is it that a person improves the state of his heart? How is it that he grows in his good actions, in his good deeds? How? When he has a Qur'an sitting on their shelf? When they have a Qur'an app on their phone? When is it that a person will truly increase in guidance? When he takes warning from the Qur'an. And for that, we have to sometimes sit and read through an entire juz. Even though it's a little difficult. And maybe we're getting tired. But sometimes we have to do that. Because it's for our own good. And do not send away those who call upon their Lord morning and afternoon, seeking His countenance. Not upon you is anything of their account, and not upon them is anything of your account. So were you to send them away, you would then be of the wrongdoers. The Prophet ﷺ is told, keep company with those who are close to Allah. Those who remember Allah. Even if they have a lesser worldly status than you, yes, even then. Even if the only thing common between you and them is love of Allah, iman in Allah, yes, still, stay in their company. Spend some time with them. Why? Because you will remind them of Allah and they will remind you of Allah. You see, iman, it only grows when there are certain factors. And of those factors is good company, righteous company. You remember Surah An-Nur? مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحٌ الْمِصْبَاحُ فِي زُجَاجَةٍ. What is that zujajah? What is that glass case that is around the lamp? Many scholars, they interpret it as righteous company. Because the flame of iman, it must be surrounded by good company. Why? Because then good company will protect it. It will protect that iman. And it will also make it look beautiful. Because think about it, if we ourselves, one person, all of us individually, if we were sitting at home and reading the Qur'an, just the translation like this, would we be able to stop and reflect? Would we be able to? No, we would probably just skim through quickly, quickly, quickly and say, oh, tomorrow. Be honest, wouldn't we do that? I would do that. But what happens? When we're sitting in a gathering, then what happens? I am forced to stop, look at your faces, think, reflect. So this is something that strengthens our faith. It improves our faith. Good company. So the Prophet ﷺ is told, don't send them away. But the thing was that these Sahaba, many of them were poor. So there were people who were not Muslim and they did not like that they should sit next to these poor people. Allah says, thus we have tried some of them through others that the disbelievers might say, is it these whom Allah has favored among us? Is not Allah most knowing of those who are grateful? أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَعْلَمَ بِالشَّاكِرِينَ. Allah knows who is most grateful. We can claim all we want. I'm very grateful, I'm very grateful. Allah knows who is truly grateful. And when those come to you who believe in our verses, say, peace be upon you. Your Lord has decreed upon Himself mercy that any one of you who does wrong out of ignorance and then repents after that and corrects himself, indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. Forgiving and merciful to who? Those who? Okay, those who made a mistake and then repented. They correct themselves and they reform and they take a step also, right? Because you see, when they come to you, They're making the effort to learn. They're making the effort to find out. Those who put in this effort, and then once they find out, oh, I was wrong, I need to do this instead, and they correct themselves, then Allah is forgiving and merciful to them. وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ And thus do we detail the verses, and thus the way of the criminals will become evident. Say, indeed, I have been forbidden to worship those you invoke besides Allah. Say, I will not follow your desires, for I would then have gone astray, and I would not be of the rightly guided. Say, indeed, I am on clear evidence from my Lord, and you have denied it. I do not have that for which you are impatient. The decision is only for Allah. He relates the truth, and He is the best of deciders. Say, if I had that for which you are impatient, meaning this punishment that you keep demanding from me, the matter would have been decided between you and me. But Allah is most knowing of the wrongdoers. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ And with Him are the keys of the unseen. None knows them except Him. So the real power and strength is with who? With Allah, because He has all knowledge. And He knows what is on the land and what is in the sea. Can we ever know about everything that is on land? And everything that is in the depths of the water? Can we? No. Who knows about it? Allah. Just think, at this time, any killer whale, wherever it's swimming, dolphin, wherever it's going, or any kind of fish, jellyfish deep in the water, or any krill or something like that, whatever it may be, in a pond, in a river, in a sea, in an ocean, wherever in this world, a rabbit maybe running off an ice field somewhere in the North Pole, who knows about every creature, wherever it is, Allah. And He also knows what's going on in my life. He knows what I am going through. He knows the struggles that I face, that I have been facing from the very beginning. The abuse perhaps that I have suffered in a relationship. The difficulty that I have faced. The nights that I have spent crying. He knows. He knows, and that is sufficient for me. Because when He knows, then that means He has willed it. And if He has willed it, there was a reason behind it. What is that reason? I don't know. He knows. And I trust Him. Because the fact is that what has happened in our lives, we could go to 1,000 people asking them, can you explain to me? Can you explain to me? What can they tell you? They cannot. You can only find comfort in knowing that Allah knows. You can only find peace in knowing that Allah willed it. You can only find comfort in knowing that Allah can change it. This is the only thing that can bring sukoon and contentment and peace in our lives. And the whole world can try and solve our problems for us. But if we don't have faith in Allah here, then therapy also cannot help. Then nothing can help. Because even in therapy, what is it that you need to do? You have to have faith. You have to believe. You have to be positive. What is this positivity? It's about believing. Allah knows. He willed it. There was good in it. He can change it. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ He knows what is on land and what is on sea. What is in the sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا Not a leaf falls, but that He knows it. And not a tear falls, except that He knows it. And no grain is there within the darknesses of the earth, and no moist or dry thing, but that it is written in a clear record. Some eyes are always moist. And some eyes have become so weak that now they have become dry. They have wept so much that now they are dry. No grain is there within the darknesses of the earth in utter loneliness. And no moist or dry thing but that it is written in a clear record. And it is He who takes your souls by night and knows what you have committed by day. Then He revives you therein, that a specified term may be fulfilled. Then to Him will be your return. Then He will inform you about what you used to do.